This is the Aftermarket Radio Network.
Welcome to another episode of Business by the Numbers. I'm your host, Hunt Emmerich, CPA with Parr Mellis & Associates. Have you ever been charged for some other shop's part? Have you ever failed to get a credit for a part that you returned? What about a part failure that you were reimbursed the full labor claim amount or maybe shorted? If your blood pressure is starting to rise just thinking about that, then this week is for you. How to make sure that you're paying what you think for your parts is exactly what we're going to talk about this week. Before we get into that, I just want to stop and say thank you to you and the rest of the dedicated listeners. Remember, if you want your question answered on here live or just have a question for me, shoot me an email at podcast@parmellis.com. Want to talk to us about accounting and tax services for your repair shop? Shoot us a text at 301-307-5413. And last but not least, we cannot forget our dedicated sponsors. If you need to recruit the next rock star for your team, give Promotive a call. And if you need to give your parts reconciliation under control, give Alex and Wicked File a call today. It's time to hire a superstar for your business. What a grind you have in front of you. Great news. You don't have to go at it alone. Introducing Promotive, a full-service staffing solution for your shop. Let them do the heavy lifting and enlist your hiring partner online at gopromotive.com. Turn chaos into clarity with Wicked File, the AI for auto repair shops. Transform invoices into insights, protect cash flows, and stop losing parts, cores, or credits to maximize your bottom line. Get Wicked File. So, like you just heard in that lovely ad that I read out, one of our dedicated sponsors is Alex Saldana of Wicked File. And for those of you that have heard Wicked File and heard Alex on here before, Wicked File software is all about managing your back office and all about exactly what we're going to talk about this week. So if you like technology and you say, Hunt, I want to come into the 21st century and these issues that you're talking about make my blood pressure rise, give Wicked File a call. A lot of shops have already reached out to them. And what we're going to talk about this week is the foundation behind parts reconciliation. I think everyone can do this, whether you use spreadsheets, pen and paper, or Wicked File. But again, if you really want to get into the details on this, Alex's product is the best I've ever seen for it. I've never really recommended another parts reconciliation software, and it can do a lot more than that. A lot of people have approached me for it, and none of them have really been good fits for my clients. I believe in the products we stand behind, right? Promotive is awesome. They've helped out a lot of shops. So has Wicked File, right? So if you're serious about this stuff, reach out to them. I promise you. You might be thinking to yourself, well, Hunt, why do I care about parts, right? I'm selling them. It's captured in there, you know, and I think that all of you get the idea, but this is something that was ingrained in me very, very early on in doing this. And I think kind of hammers home of why this stuff is most important. If you go out and you sell a part, you're expecting to make double that money, right? When you sell a part, you should be doubling your money. What does that look like? And how does that go wrong is what we're going to start off with. If you buy a $50 part, and I used to use the example of a water pump, because like a Honda water pump used to be 50 bucks. Now $50 is, I don't know, probably a cheap cam position sensor or something. But let's say that you put that cam position sensor on there and you charge accordingly, you should get $100 in return. If you buy something for 50 bucks and you want to make 50% gross profit, buy it for 50, sell it for 100, you're making 50, it costs you 50. Fairly straightforward. If that worked out every single time without fail, then we would not have this episode this week. Unfortunately or fortunately, this happens all the time, and this is why we have this episode. Let's say that your counter was a bit rushed, right? Safeguards were not put in place or maybe not followed on there, and that cam positioner went onto that car unnoticed. So I am out $50. I need to actually sell a part three times in order to make up for a part getting lost. And I'm going to explain that to you now. If we sell that once correctly, we should double our money. But if we don't on the first time, we actually had to do it three times to make up our mistake. So if we sell that part the first time, or we don't, we're down 50 bucks, right? I bought that cam position sensor. My advisor missed it. I'm now in the red 50 bucks. So if you go out and you say, hey, I need to sell another one of these. So great, I'm going to buy one for 50, sell it for 100. I am up 50. But remember, we started down 50 because we lost that first one. So the first one we lost, the second one we made back what we had already lost. If you lose one, you sell it again just to be back at square one. And then you have to sell it that third time to actually make the $50 that you should have made on the original one. parts aren't too bad, right? Parts for a repair shop, you only had to sell it three times to make up on something that was lost or stolen or embezzled. Where this was really ingrained to me is a lot of our clients, especially when I first started, were gas stations, right? A lot of those gas stations had convenience stores and cigarettes were the big thing. You make 50% margin on parts. So if you steal one part, you got to sell it, you know, essentially two more times to make your money back. Cigarettes or other things at convenience stores that have lower margin, i.e. like tires for you guys. If you get a tire stolen, just like a pack of cigarettes, you probably have to sell 8 or 10 of them just to make back the money that you lost. So if you're thinking to yourself, well, Hunt, why is this important? It is not necessarily theft. It is not necessarily embezzlement. This stuff happens all the time. And would you want your guys out there, you know, putting themselves on a line, you know, risking themselves, working hard, sweating, you know, bleeding, making sure that these customers are getting taken care of, all to be losing money? No, right? Everyone's working too hard here to do stuff for free. But Hunt, do I know that I'm missing any of this? I think I have a pretty good handle on things. And I will tell you that if you are asking that question, you absolutely are, right? And even if you aren't asking that question, you are losing out on this stuff. Whether it's cores, whether it's washers, whether it's consumables, you guys are getting stolen from every second of the day without fail. Never found a single shop that wasn't. Wait a second, Hunt. What do you mean? So if everyone is getting stolen from, or if there is a leaking bucket on my parts, no matter what, then isn't this an effort in futility? How am I trying to solve this if no one else has? I want to be very clear here. This is happening in every single shop, but to what level is what we're trying to talk about here? And I want to be very clear. There is going to be a level of materiality where you're going to say, I no longer care. And I'm going to give you an example on this, right? Because I have some people that go too high and too low. Hey, they have a massive discrepancy and they still don't care. Then I have other people where it's like, you have virtually no discrepancy and you care a ton. And there has to be some middle ground. How much or how big of a variable you are willing to do is up to you. It's your business. If you don't care about any of this stuff, then I really shouldn't either. If you don't care that you are losing $5,000 on parts, then I am not going to either. And I'm not being tongue in cheek on here. I'm saying you set this level of materiality, but it needs to come down to be reasonable in this. How much is your time worth? What do you mean by that? I'm going to show you right now. Let's say that you are thinking that you are supposed to pay $20,000 for parts. You look at your end of day report, your parts purchase report, how your shop management system, and say, great, we sold 40 grand worth of parts. I paid $20,000 for those. And then you turn around, you look at your financials and you realize, well, hey, instead of paying $20,000, I actually paid $25,000. So we paid $5,000 more for parts than we think. Do you think that it would be worth 10 hours of your time looking for the answer? Real quick, before you answer that question on here, all the examples we talk about is when you guys are paying more for parts than you think. That is an issue. If you have a situation where you are paying less than you think for parts, that is not a good situation. I'm not going to use it as an example because you guys generally don't see this happening. But if you are paying substantially less for parts than you think that you are, again, there's an issue. It's kind of a champagne problem because we don't see it that much. But what's going on is there's probably a reporting issue that, again, could be clouding some other things. So back to the original one. You paid more than $5,000 more for these parts than you think. Do you think that that would be a good use of your time to spend maybe 10 hours looking for that missing $5,000? Yeah, absolutely, right? $5,000 takes, you know, 10 hours to look for this or maybe find something. Absolutely worth your time, worth my time, worth hiring someone to do this. Yes, yes, yes. What if that difference was maybe $1,000? You thought that it was only going to cost you $20,000 and you wrote out a check for $21,000. $1,000 over the month, 10% or 5% variable on that. Yeah, I'm still looking for that. If I think it's going to cost me 10 hours, it's maybe not the best use of my time on it, but that's a big difference, right? I need to understand why. And again, I need to understand why for this because sometimes I look at this and say, hey, this is a transmission that I bought this month. It's going to go to next month. I'm not always looking for a solution to these discrepancies, but I'm always looking for an answer, if that makes sense. As we'll find out in a little bit, some of you guys might figure out that you are the answer. Hey, where's the discrepancy? Oh, it's all these race car parts or boat parts or you name it, I've seen it. So we kind of agree, if we got a $5,000 difference, we're looking for this stuff. Guys, if we have a $1,000 difference for most of your shops, again, we're still looking for it. But what if we're at $100? What if we are paying $20,100 instead of $20,000? Do you still look for that, right? If you still commit 10 hours to maybe find $100 difference, And if you're still saying that you would, you can come work for me. Seriously, you are going to be making $10 an hour looking for a difference there. You know, at most, the most you could find is $100. It is not worth 10 hours of your time to find $100. You can argue up and down. There is much more effective use of your time in your business than looking for parts, and generally in a situation like this that you cannot fix. How much is your time worth? It's probably worth $100 an hour. It's probably worth $50 an hour. It is probably not worth $5 an hour. And sometimes I see people go below that materiality level. Our objective here should be zero. Zero difference between what we're paying for parts and what we think we're paying. But the longer answer is it should be materially zero. If you're searching for 0 cents, you're going to be disappointed. If you say plus or minus $200 on it, that is a very achievable goal and probably a good point where you start to get that diminishing return on investment. How much is your time worth? What do you stand to gain? IRS does the same stuff, guys. If they look out and they look at your business and you have $100 in expenses and $200 in sales, you will never, ever, ever, ever get audited in your life. Why? Because if the IRS comes out, the best case scenario they have is to throw out $100 of expenses and they make $20. It is never going to be worth them sending their revenue agents out. Think about yourself in the same way when you're auditing your own financials. You are paying yourself in some way, shape, or form, if not opportunity cost. Is this worth my time to audit? Do I have enough to gain that it's worth my time? So hopefully you kind of got the basic ideas here of not only materiality, but also looking at this stuff. How do you fix a problem that you can't measure? How do you fix a problem that doesn't exist? And like you imagine, we need to be looking at a shop management system, comparing this to our financials to understand why. And really what you're going to have here, once we have this foundational idea, and maybe you've never done this before, right, is you're going to go down and then you're going to compare this stuff. And you guys are now going to split into two different groups. So what I want you to do is I want you to run your QuickBooks for last month. I want you to run your shop management software for last month and compare those two. There is going to be one group of you that this is going to be very close like we talked about. It's either going to be dead on or materially close. And you're going to get to probably skip to this last step, but you don't get away that easy, right? I still think you should listen to this next part because maybe it's not happening now, but a discrepancy can happen at any point. Now, if you're looking to yourself right now and you say, huh, this is not even close, right? I thought I paid 10 grand for parts and I wrote a check for $22,000. Well, like I said, good news is this episode is for you.
Shop owners, are you struggling to find and retain top-tier talent for your automotive shop? Introducing Promotive. On the web at gopromotive.com. With over 40 years of combined industry recruiting experience, we're the ultimate staffing solution. We go beyond traditional agencies. Our team provides dedicated recruiters and account managers advising on processes, compensation, and benefits. We focus on placing technicians and service advisors with shops that offer the best culture, training, and long-term growth opportunities. Trust our experience to match the right talent to your shop. We carefully select shops that value employee excellence and provide an environment for success. Our dedicated team leads the entire process, leveraging our industry knowledge and expertise. Partner with Promotive and experience their advantage to help you build a high-performing team that drives your shop's growth. Visit GoPromotive.com today and let us help find and keep the best talent in the industry.
Every month, auto repair shops can lose over $20,000 in uncredited parts, cores, and lost profits. Wicked Files' AI-powered software is a game changer. It helped one shop owner recover over $10,000 in missed credits, and others have recovered tens of thousands more. Wicked File puts cash back into your business and hours back into your day. Stop leaving money on the table. Visit wickedfile.com to learn more and get started today. This section is for those of you that are saying, wait a second, I actually paid what for parts? And we need to understand why. Before you freak out on this, I will tell you that the most common or, you know, half of these issues end up not actually being a real issue in real life, but a reporting issue. So you think you're overpaying for parts, but what ends up happening is we figure out that your shop management system's not tracking correctly, misclassification, or et cetera. Not all-inclusive list, but some of the things that we found out here is inventory being incorrect. Look at your shop management software. If you have $5,000 in inventory and your shop management software says $50,000, then again, you cannot use the reports out of there to compare to QuickBooks because you're using bad data and hopefully comparing it to good data, or maybe just bad and bad. Are your charges and parts cost of goods sold correct? You're looking at a large category in your QuickBooks file, probably the largest one on there. Go down through there. Make sure you don't see vendors like State Farm Insurance or maybe Google Advertising that got put into parts cost. Number one most classic mix-up here is just classification. Something got put into the wrong category. Number two probably is timing. Hey, you bought a $5,000 transmission last month. That job is not closed out. Of course, it's going to show up in September, not October, unless accounting entries are done to fix it otherwise. And the last one on here, and my least favorite and your most favorite, is are you adding variables to it? And if you say, Hunt, what are variables? Variables come in all different sizes and shapes, but they all are usually directed by you guys. Does your family actually have a ticket when they get their cars fixed? Or are we just buying parts? Same thing for you, same thing for your loaner cars, same thing for your shop vehicles. Do you have a race car, right? Do you have a boat? Do you have a jet ski? There is an exhaustive list of stuff that you guys run down through your business. But all I want you to think on this section is there parts that I am buying that I'm okay with buying that are never going to run into the shop management system? And if your answer to that is yes, you need to get that out at least for a monthly cycle because you are going to add variables to this. If you are knowingly saying, hey, there's X, Y, and Z situation that'll never show up in my shop management software, then you are never going to be able to accurately reconcile your parts because you are knowingly accepting these variables in there. Does that mean you can't run this stuff down through your business at all? No, you absolutely can. But there's ways of tagging this. You can do unpaid tickets in there, but we still want to make sure that the part cost is in there. So then we're comparing this. We're comparing apples to apples. We're not bringing our own personal life and kind of skewing the overall picture. Also, your accountant gets really frustrated. I'm not going to say how many times I've done it, but it's more than I can count on my hand of spending hours and hours and hours to figure out why my clients had a discrepancy, only to figure out that they had a really expensive hobby that they did not want to tell their spouse about. It happens, guys. I get it. But think to yourself, maybe it's me. Am I the problem? Again, if you can understand where it is, if you say, no, Hunt, I know that my QuickBooks is going to show that I paid $30, but I'm comfortable that I actually only paid $20,000 because the process and procedures put in place. There is always going to be a discrepancy between these two. How big or how small is maybe not important if you know exactly why there's a discrepancy. There's timing stuff, stuff goes over, you miss stuff, you get burned on it, it happens. Let's say that you've now fixed these issues, right? I figured out how to do the internal tickets on this. The inventory is figured out. I got my cores running down there through correctly. So now I know that I'm comparing apples to apples. It still doesn't match up. I'm still showing $25,000 in one and $20,000 in the other. How do I figure out where to go wrong? Where do I go next? All you need to do is you need to run a report in QuickBooks and see who you paid that $25,000 to. We paid $25,000. We were only expecting $20,000. In my shop management system, I can print a report out of there of parts sales or parts purchased by vendor, and it will show me who I should have paid that $20,000 to, right? Advanced Auto Parts, Napa, CarQuest, you name it, yada, yada, yada. I can do that same exact report in QuickBooks, right? Advanced Auto Parts, CarQuest, US Auto Force, yada, yada, yada. All I do is I usually put these in Excel. You can do this manually. You can do this on pen and paper. You can do this in Wicked File, real time, automatically. But essentially, I put those in Excel and I say, where's the difference? I know that the difference is in this month. And what I'm trying to do is figure out which vendor it's going from. Usually, it's between one or two. Usually, it's one bigger one. I paid Worldpac $10,000. I was only expecting to pay them five. There's my difference right there. Figure out the POs that are different. Figure out what's going on. Once you figure out who, you can go line by line on this stuff. And it's not rocket science to figure out where you went wrong. Now, the deeper issue behind it, you could kind of come into different things. What have my clients figured out? Some of these are known issues, right? Oh yeah, we ate that one. XYZ employee dropped that, you know, alternator. We had to buy another one. If I uncovered that, am I alarmed? No, right? I understand what happened. I might need to figure out why Jeff, you know, destroyed the alternator. But how can we do this in the future so that it doesn't trigger any red flags, right? This stuff happens. How do we do these internal tickets, et cetera? Employee theft. This stuff goes on. It is not super common, but yeah, parts walking out the back door, parts walking out the front door, or something in between. This does happening. Service advisors on accounting getting sloppy with tickets and just forgetting pieces of invoices. Happens a ton. Very, 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 very hard to catch. Wicked File does do this. If you want to do this old school pen and paper, you can catch this maybe after the fact, but it's very hard to do. What is an example of that? Wicketfile can catch incomplete jobs. So if you're packaging up maybe like an AC job on there and missing maybe a dryer or a line or something like this, Wicketfile will actually flag this real time while that car is in the shop still and say, hey, this ticket is incomplete. Double check you got all the parts there. When you do that after the fact on it, you will probably see it once you kind of go through the vendor. But if it's small enough, you probably won't be able to even flag these on the tickets. Double billing from vendors. I've seen this a number of times. Just straight up, hey, you got two POs, 549 for $450. I don't think you bought the same part twice on the same PO. I think you got charged twice. Systemic warranty and core credit issues. If you guys are not complaining about your cores and warranties and returns, you are not getting them. Point blank, there's nothing more to say on that. You have to be the squeaky wheel. Build for other shops. If you have a common shop name, what's a common shop name? Dave's, Absolute, Advanced, Auto Repair Professionals. If you know that there's other shops in town with similar shop names on this, you guys should be even more careful. But all of my Bill's Auto Service, Dave's, you know, Professional Quality Auto Care, a lot of those guys are very, very famous for getting billed for other shop stuff. I'm not sure if it's on purpose. I'm not sure it's accidental. Make sure that you guys are using POs. Make sure you are doing those in sequence. Because if you have a PO sequence that starts with, let's just say P54321, you'll be able to look at your vendor statement and match up all your POs, right? They all look the same, kind of all, you know, blends in. And then you see one that says, you know, PO512. You know immediately that's not mine. That's not how I do my sequences. It's out of order. But yeah, POs kind of have fallen out of fashion since PO, like the physical PO, is not really used as much. But even better, these can all be done in your shop management system automatically to try and solve this stuff. The list goes on and on, though. Then the amount of variables or the solution to this is really limitless. And like I said, so whether you had issues and had to do some more research or you don't have any current issues, but you want to keep it that way, the last step is always the same. You need to process all of this stuff and you need to implement procedures so that you can stop discrepancies before they happen. When I uncover a problem where I say, hey, this was stolen, this was missed, the warranty credit was not returned, I have a two-step process to fix that. A, I need to get my core warranty credit. Hey, you shorted me $50. I need my $50. Where is it? I'm not going to stop calling CarQuest till I get it back. But then second fault, the definition of insanity is calling CarQuest every single month saying, where is my warranty credit? But what I'm going to do is I'm going to say, what process and procedure can I put in place to stop this so that they can never happen? Meaning we do not get a core warranty return until we get a signed copy back from the parts driver, right? Or until we confirm that we see it on end of month statement. If you try to get all of this stuff after the fact, you're going to miss 98% of it. If you set up processes and procedures and ensure that those processes and procedures are followed, you will probably stop 98% of this stuff. Whether you want to do this manually or coming into the 21st century and use Wicketfile, the choice is yours, but the foundations are exactly the same. You want to have file folders for everything or sticky notes or pen and legal papers. That's great. Or you can have Wicketfile and track all of these issues electronically. Which one works for you? Which one feels more comfortable? Get which one you're actually going to use and actually going to understand. At the end of the day, sometimes understanding the problem and highlighting the problem is even more important than the solution. As always, please share with friends. If you have any questions, comments, or ideas for future episodes, shoot me an email at podcast@parmelis.com. Just want to say thanks again for listening on the Aftermarket Radio Network. You can find all shows on the aftermarketradionetwork.com and on your favorite podcast listening apps. So thanks again for joining me on Business by the Numbers. Stay safe out there, and I'll talk to you all next week.
You've been listening to Business by the Numbers with Hunt Demarest on the Aftermarket Radio Network. Follow Hunt on your favorite podcast listening app. Let him know what you'd like him to cover. His email is in the show notes. Hunt is all for advancing the aftermarket.